Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Welcome to the Sunday Sampler. Coming up with Amy, you'll hear Gracie Mokler, who is an entrepreneur. She's also the wife of Steve Mokler, but they talk about signs. And you know how Amy loves a sign? She loves all signs. Street signs, signs from above.
Gracie got a good one from her sister.
Amy jumped into this. Who knew?
On the other side.
Who knew you were even here? Wow, where's Amy?
I'm here.
Where's that coming from?
We also talk business, being that she is an entrepreneur, so, and going through hard things as a small business owner.
That's coming up in just a few minutes. On the Bobbycast, I sat down with new artist Zach Top, who is getting a lot of love right now. And so he talks about playing in his family band, dropping out of college to play music, Jake Owen's support, how at 7 years old he booked his first gig. That's going to happen in just a second. Caroline Hobby, Sore Losers, all that's here on the Sunday Sampler. So let's get going now with Zach Top on the Bobbycast.
The amount of time that, like, I probably, from the ages of 5 to 15, I probably played guitar like 3 hours a day or something. And just the, like, knowing other artists and people that have started, you know, in their teen years or something, I can't imagine, because you just don't have time anymore to do that, you know, let alone being actually having to work full time as an adult. I remember my dad for a second was going to, I played guitar. Obviously my little brother played mandolin. Maddie, my sister, played fiddle. And then the oldest sister, Lakin, played bass for the little bluegrass family band. And so we were missing the banjo. So my dad got a wild hair that he was going to be the banjo player at some point, but it was the same sort of thing where, you know, it was probably a couple months. He had a lesson every week, but you know, he ain't got time to sit down and practice and let alone just your, you know, you get older, it's
your
harder to pick
chemistry,
new stuff up.
Yeah. It is already established how it's going to work.
Absolutely.
You say you were basically the leader of Top String?
Yeah. My mom was really proud of that one. Still is.
But you weren't the oldest.
No.
So how do you lead if you're not the oldest sibling? I would just think naturally the oldest of the oldest would be like, I'm the leader of the band.
Yeah. I think I wanted it worse than anybody else for sure. They did it and had fun with it most of the time. I think I was pretty difficult to work with at times. Maybe that hasn't changed. I don't know. But anyways, I booked our first show, I guess. An old family friend of ours, Randy, had called my dad and asked. The first show we played was opening for a Patsy Cline musical at the local high school. And Randy had heard that he was part of the Rotary Club, you know, helping put it on or whatever. He had heard that we were taking music lessons and, you know, we weren't even doing it as a band. Everybody was just learning their instrument individually and we were all doing our own thing, kind of. We had nothing worked up together. And he called and asked my dad if we'd like to come do the, come open for that musical. And my dad said, well, Randy, you're going to have to ask them. I can't answer that for him. And so he put me on the phone. I don't remember this.
How old were you?
7. I've been told the story enough. He was like, hey, we'd like you to come do the show. And I said, well, Randy, that sounds great. We'd love to. And my first question was, how long is it? Or how much time do we have? And he was like, oh, showing for a couple months. And I said, well, that's perfect. We'll know some songs by then and we'd love to do it.
So then you start rehearsing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we started actually trying to work up stuff together.
Kids do the darndest things.
Do they ever?
That was you at 7.
Yeah.
Running the business.
Yeah.
Why would you play guitar for hours at a time? Meaning, was it pure enjoyment? Was it pursuing the dream of music? Was it pursuing the idea of getting out of Washington? Not in a negative way, but just...
No, right.
Yeah, why would you dedicate so much time to it? In your mind as a kid, what did you think it would lead to?
I really don't know that I thought it would lead to anything. All I knew was I loved the music. And country music specifically. I remember my folks had remember them briefcase things that had a bunch of slots for tapes,
yeah.
Cassette tapes. They had one of those downstairs, and we still had a tape machine. I think it was pretty out of date at that point, but we had a tape machine down in the basement, and I would go through that thing just one by one, take one out, play it through, try and learn every song on there, learn how to sing them, learn how to play them, just sit down there in front of that tape machine for hours, sitting there with my guitar.
Did you want to be a performer?
I loved performing, yeah, for sure. I loved being on stage. I was always, you know, the front man from the start, the one talking between songs, doing most of the lead singing. My sister Maddie's an awesome singer as well, and Jorman Lakin are too. But the two of us did most of the lead singing. And yeah, it was a long time before I ever thought anything about, maybe I could actually do this for a living. I was ate up with the music. I loved it.
It was just passion. It was just love.
Yep. A whole bunch of old bluegrass records. I remember I got a box set thing with like 80 George Jones songs on a CD. I went through all of those, learned all that stuff. I remember the first time they had the Don't Close Your Eyes tape of Keith Whitley, and I about lost it when I heard that thing, learned every song off of it. And then
it's like you're 200 inside of a body of a, 7-year-old, and now 25.
Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things. Tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
Hey, it's Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown, and here's what we talked about this week on my podcast. What advice do you have for people from what you've experienced, not just in like focusing and keeping on the one thing, but like in your expansion, like what has it felt like for you to be able to expand and open yourself up to all these different possibilities? And then what advice do you have for people that are like, well, yeah, that's great. If someone's telling you, you know, you're a product, not a brand, it's very scary to launch into all of that. So what advice do you have for people that maybe need to take that next step to grow? And maybe it's not a business. It could be in anything, putting themselves out there, getting on a dating app, whatever it is that they maybe need to take the next step to do.
Yeah.
Like you just dive right
in. Yeah, I would say, first of all, just go for it. Just try it. Like things usually go better than you think. Like, again, but what if it goes well? That's like on half our products now. Cause I'm like, but truly, like, what if it did go well? You never know till you try. So I'm a big proponent of just trying. And then from there, know your why. Because I think when things get hard, your why connects you to your purpose. And that's going to help you on the hard times. And so as I've been like this, you know, experiencing these growing pains, which have felt very painful, that why and feeling that purpose of, you know what? This feels crazy, or like, what did I do? But I'm like, no, I believe I'm called to bring joy and to bring this product. And this like feels like what the Lord has called me to. And so that why really helps ground you when you want to bolt.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I never want to knock anybody on social media, but I feel like we're in this culture where it's like, it just feels like I go online. This might just be me and it's my own issue for comparing. But when it feels like this culture of like, oh, here's how I make 7 figures. Well, I make matchas and homeschool my kids. And I'm just like, that is not my story. That literally could not feel further from the truth for me. And so I think just to feel like for encouragement for someone that it's okay if it feels hard, and that like pain and purpose are not separate. And that like, I think for me, I like ease. I always want something to be the easiest and the most fun. And so in this season, it's been like, no, I feel pain and this feels hard. I feel a lot of growing pains, but you want the garden, but you don't want to pull the weeds, you know? So just being willing to dive in and like really plug into what you're called to, and just that like it's okay if it feels hard right now, and it's okay if starting something is not just this linear path to like all this money and free time. And does that make sense?
Like, yeah, no. And I love that saying, like, if you know, you want the garden, but you don't want to pull the weeds, mm-hmm. and you have to get
That's
in there
Steve
and get
line.
Your hands dirty. Is that part of a song?
He wrote that song. That was his idea. That wasn't mine. I took it from him.
Well, I think it's a beautiful way to put it because it's so true. Sometimes we just want to like skip to the good part, mm-hmm. but then we miss out on some of the expansion. We miss out on the growth. Yep. We miss out on the development. Like that's how we become.
Of who you're becoming.
Who
you're becoming.
We are in the yeah. different challenges and what does this make possible for us?
Yes.
And then where is it going to take us yes. next? And even when we hit certain obstacles, knowing that like, okay, well, maybe this isn't the way, but it's supposed to pivot and go this way. And you've been great at pivoting and also taking feedback and then making decisions from there. And one of the decisions you had to make was taking out the HELOC to yes. make this expansion possible.
Yeah.
And I know that that's been a huge thing for you of like, oh, but I love that you're very clear about, okay, I'm not going to get focused on that. That's not my identity. This part of it doesn't define me and who I am. And I think sometimes we get wrapped up in some of our stuff that feels overwhelming at the time.
Yes.
And I speak as someone has a HELOC too. It's like, yeah. or any kind of debt that you may be in or whatever circumstance where there's a lot of pressure. It's like, okay, this is here. We'll get through this, but this right here doesn't define me.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had a moment, it was last month. So this is all very raw, but you know, I like talking about it in real time because that's life, you know? But there was a moment last month where it was feeling heavy. The HELOC was feeling heavy. I'm like, I have taken this very big risk, which I'm so happy to do, but it affects my family. You know, it affects all of us. It affects what we're able to do. And it's just a big decision that we did not take lightly, but it was starting to feel a little bit heavy where I'm just like, okay, the only way out is through, but we're in. And one morning I was sitting there at breakfast. I just felt this weight on me. And Steve just looked at me. He said, you know, the HELOC, it's not who you are. The loan is not who you are. You really need to remember that. And I instantly, like, I felt like my breath entered my body again. Like, I felt this just instant release of, you know what? You're right. Like, I'm putting so much identity on my business. And I do that for better or for worse. It's like, I love being, entrepreneur. It's so fun. And I love other women in business. And I love being a mom. All the things. It's like, it's so easy to equate what you do with who you are. And I honestly didn't realize how much I was doing that. And I think that's why the HELOC was feeling so heavy, because it felt like, well, if I was like a great business owner, I would have already figured out how to be profitable and I would have already figured out X, Y, Z. So then you start to be like, well, am I even that good at this? And well, now we're in it, you know, and just so many, like, first of all, lies and then ties that just they're not meant to be there, you know? And so when he said that, I literally just felt this giant release of like, oh, you're right. It's not who I am. And if this thing goes to hell in the handbasket tomorrow, I am loved. I am worthy. I'm brave for trying this. And I hope it inspires people to try something themselves, you know, yeah. just like to be a little bit less tied to the outcome, even though I still hope the outcome's good. You know, I still hope we can grow mm-hmm. and do all the things. But that was like a really helpful lesson for me of like, oh, wow, I have way too much identity tied up in this.
Yeah. And well, and I do think that, like you mentioned earlier, social media can make it hard when sometimes mm-hmm. you're seeing the highlight reel of people oh, yeah. and you're seeing some of the success in business and they're doing all the things, mm-hmm. but you also don't have the full picture.
Yes.
You don't know what it took to get there. And maybe it did work out for them in a snap of a finger like that. But everybody's story is different. And I like that you're sharing the honest side,
yeah, like in the middle
the real
of it.
Side. You're
yeah.
in the middle of it. You're in the thick of it. You're pulling the weeds and it doesn't define you. I like that you said that, or that Steve said that to you. And now, cause even your business, like yeah. Emergency Confetti doesn't define you yeah. at all. Like you're so much more than that. And you did what you had to do to expand the business.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to pay off
well,
for you
thanks.
For sure.
I hope so.
Yeah. And I think
we can listen back to this podcast years from now and be like, it either went this way or this way. We're going to mm-hmm. We're going to hope it's good.
Yeah. I think expansion. I like that word. And you've expanded in so many different ways. And now this is something that doesn't define you. You know, that reminds me of the saying of the data versus the drama, because I think sometimes we get wrapped up in the drama of something when really, if you just look at the facts, it's like, okay, I have a business. I wanted to expand it. Therefore, I needed to take out a loan. Mm-hmm. I'm expanding my business. This is part of the process. It's like the data. It's yeah. not the drama of,
yes.
oh, I took out this loan and I haven't been able to pay it back yet. And now I'm a failure. You yeah. know, that's the drama.
Yes, that
so
is
sometimes
drama.
We have to present it as the data
I
and then
that.
Also have the reminder, like Steve was telling you, and have good people that are in your life that yeah. will look at you and say, like, they'll let you kind of say, process and say what you need to say, but yeah. then they're going to look you in the face and be like, that doesn't define you, by the way. Remember that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to do it live.
We
are the 1, 2, 3
sore losers.
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
Y'all, it's Sizzin. I'm from the north. I'm an alpha male. I live on the north side of Nashville with Baser, my wife. We do have a farm. It's beautiful. A lot of acreage. No animals. A lot of crops, hopefully soon. Corn, pumpkins, rye, I believe. Maybe a little fescue. To be determined. Over to you, Coach.
And here's a clip from this week's episode of The Sore Losers. And here's a clip from one of the episodes this week on The Sore Losers. Take this clip and play it. Ray, have you ever, what recently in your life has given you the most amazing, like, wow moment? Like, this is something so freaking cool.
Sporting event, concert. I'd say a concert, probably.
Because I told you I signed up the boys for T-ball, and I was going to be the coach. And we are been named the Expos. So we are the Expos. And it was Jersey pickup day, Ray.
Not in my country.
It was Jersey pickup day, and the boys were like, Dad, can we come with you to pick up the jerseys? And I'm like, get in the car, boys. Let's go.
We're going to Zazzle.
So we got in the car, buckled them in their seats, turned it on, and we drove. Windows down, said, boys, we're going to get your baseball jerseys. And they're yelling, go Expos, go Expos, go Expos, go Expos, the entire way to the ballpark.
Team doesn't even exist.
The entire way, they're screaming it. And we pull up to their field where they said they're going to be on the picnic table. Look for the people on the picnic table with the jerseys. And there's no one there.
Well timed.
And I look back at the email and it says between 4 and 6 p.m.
That's parents running in the 9 different directions at its finest.
And I'm like, well, it's 4:45. They should be here. Oh, have to go to the big field, not the little field. Back in the car, boys.
Boys, it was a tactical error by your dad. Get back to him in here.
Drive a little bit. Go Expos. Go Expos. We get out. There they are. The picnic table with a bunch of boxes and bags waiting for people to come pick up their jerseys.
Who's there waiting? Somebody from Zazzle or who is it?
There was a man and a woman. Don't know them. Never seen them.
They married?
Don't know. Didn't catch their names, Ray. And
you must be my extra large. Come here, buddy.
They said, oh, what team are you? And I said, I'm the, and I hear, Expos! Kids yell it. I don't even get to tell them where the Expos.
I'm Zelensky.
How do you know Zelensky? How do you know Zelensky?
Don't worry about it, dude.
You're watching Survivor? No, his name was Jelinski. Are you really watching Survivor?
No. I was trying to name the Prime Minister of Canada.
Oh.
Because the Expos are Canadian.
Got it.
But it's definitely not Zelensky.
No, I think it's Trudeau.
That's who it is.
Anyway, back to the story. So they're like, oh, you're the Expos. How exciting. And they hand me the bag. It's got the jerseys. They hand me a sleeve of hats.
You got the bag, man.
Got the bag. And my boys are like, Dad, Dada, can we draw our jersey on right now? Can we put the jersey on right now? And I'm like, yeah, let's see. What number do you want? And I pull it out of the bag. Has their names on the back of them.
So the numbers were already picked for them?
Already picked for them. And so...
Interesting. Why would they, at the level of upper parenting, why would that not have been a choice of number? Kids don't know their numbers very well.
They don't really care about numbers. They're just excited to have a jersey. And when I'm first going through the bag, it's last names. So I pull out the first jersey. I'm like, I don't have a Jackson on my team.
Oh, that's Connor. That's Jackson Holiday. First name.
Well, but then I pull out the next name and it's like Abernathy. I'm like, we don't have an Abernathy.
Guy for the Cardinals.
Right.
He was great.
It's when I realize that it's last names. So I go through the jersey, still not my kids, still not my kids.
All year you've just been calling them nicknames?
Yeah, so I get to number 11.
Come here, you little shit.
And it says Box. And my five-year-old's like, Dada, that's the one I want. That's our name. That's our name. That's my jersey. That's my jersey. And he rips off his shirt, flings it. I'm like, Bud, why don't you just hand it to me? And he puts that jersey on.
Antonio Brown.
He puts that jersey on, and he's just, I'm number 11. I'm number 11. Next one out of the bag.
Brady's number.
Number 12.
There it is.
Box. The second box boy. And my four-year-old's like, Dada, is that my jersey? Is that my jersey? Is that my, Dada, can I put it on right now? Rips off the shirt. Puts that jersey on. Dada, can we have our hat? Let us have our hat, Dada.
It's called a lid.
They take their hats. They put them on.
Were they a little crooked? They put them behind.
They put them crooked, and they had it way too big, so it almost covers their eyes.
Ray, you know now they all got pants sagging, hats sideways, gold chains on. What's up, boys?
They are going bananas.
Where's Dad's triple XL?
I am sitting there, and they just take off running.
Around the bases?
No, just around, like, on the outside of the field. Going, Expos! 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 And I mean,
you guys are all smoke, man.
I am just like, this moment in history. This is the great, like they may not turn out to be Major League Baseball players, or they could.
This is the start.
This is the start of their baseball journey. Where is it going to lead them? I have no idea. But the pure excitement.
Is it going to lead them to hate their dad?
The pure excitement that they had from slipping on the jersey for the first time.
Yeah.
Was incredible.
Never forget it. What about the man and woman there? What were they doing this whole
time?
They
were just like, I guess they're pretty excited, huh?
Were they high?
No, they weren't high. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, pretty neat. And first time playing? I was like, first time playing. They're like,
no, they played in the womb.
Well, they could have played T-ball last year.
Oh, got it.
And they're running, and then they come back over to the table like, Dada, the Expos won. The Expos won. And I'm like, what? And he goes like, yeah, we just scored 5 points.
I'll be sure to tell him the first game.
And I'm like, all right, dude. And he's like, yeah. So excited.
Let Dad go get us a run.
So then they're like, Dada, did you get a shirt? Did you get a shirt? And I look in there, in the bottom of the bag, says Coach.
Oh, that's our merch.
And I'm number 99.
That's merch idea.
And they're like,
our merch is going to say Coach 99. They're going to get your jersey.
They should.
And we're going to sell merch.
And my boys are like, Dada, put your jersey on. Put your jersey on.
Let me take my shirt off.
So in front of that man and woman, I peeled my shirt off, and I put the jersey on.
What, the pineapple?
And they're like, Dada, take our picture. Take our picture. So I took a picture of them, and then they're like, all right, take a picture of all of us. Family photo. Took a picture of us. And I'm not very good at the selfie, and the woman's like, do you want me to take it for you? I'm like, oh, would you do that? Take a picture. So we get in the car, and we're heading back. And they're like, I can't wait to show Mom. She's not going to believe that we got our jerseys. And I'm like, well, we just told her we were going to get the jerseys, so I think she's going to believe we got the jerseys.
Hold your excitement. Dad's going to the beer store.
And we go home, and they are just amped. And they're running around the house in their jerseys.
Oh, it's continued.
Dude,
when was the last time you got these kids new clothes, man?
I don't ever buy new clothes.
Jesus.
My 2-year-old has never had a new shirt.
I mean, it sounds like it.
He wears the clothes that his older brothers wore.
That's why
honestly.
He was excited for the clothing.
My 2-year-old does not know what new clothes mean.
You see this day one sweatshirt, Ray? It's what he's going to wear when he's 20.
Pretty much. I mean, my poor 2-year-old has no idea what new clothes are. And that's probably bad parenting.
Coach, to each his own, who gives a rip, man. What are you trying to be like the Joneses? No, Ray, they're called the Abernathys.
I know. I'm not like Jerry Jones. I'm not going to promise to double the NIL money for any recruit that comes to Arkansas. He said, any kids that were going to go to Kentucky, if they come to Arkansas, I'll double it.
Well, there you go. And they're back in the news. Just like I said, Calipari in Arkansas ain't leaving my TV for 365. And that's 365 days around the moon, man.
But
we learned
again,
about it, right? Eclipse year. Moon, sun, earth.
But
what,
once again, it doesn't matter. Calipari could always recruit. He wasn't going to have a problem recruiting. It's about coaching. So fine, pay
it's
him all the money you want.
Trying to get him to go to Little Rock.
That's a great point.
Ain't nobody going to that.
A lot of people will go because Calipari's there and the money's there.
It's anyway, not Little Rock. It's Fayetteville. Tricked your ass.
Whatever. Now maybe they're going to Little Rock for a scrimmage.
You're not the sports genius.
I wasn't paying attention. I was too busy talking about the Expos. So,
this is going to be, I'm going to make sure I tag all our Canada stations.
Yeah.
Dude, this episode is going to be huge in Canada.
It's going to be awesome. So then we're at the house and they're just running around.
They're still partying?
Then here comes the 2-year-old. He goes, where's my shirt?
Hey y'all, it's Caroline Hobby from Get Real with Caroline Hobby, and here is a clip from this week's episode.
Because I mean, I feel like with you, it's like it is all divine. I really feel like everything that happens, like you're supposed to have a large presence because you are so clean and pure for God and like such a clear vessel. But it's like things just keep getting stacked up of opportunities, like big ones, and people keep coming and voting for you and you keep winning. And like one of your best friends is Lainey Wilson and she's on your new album and you just did a big show with Chris Tomlin. And it's just like, everything is just, you're just like in these big spotlight positions from the start with the biggest stars.
Yeah. I know. I can't believe it. It's crazy. I'm so grateful. It's just amazing what God's done in my life. And I truly can't believe any of it. Like, I do think it's divine for sure. I mean, there's no like other explanation. My first song ever, My Jesus, came out and in 24 hours had like 9 million views on Facebook.
What?
Yeah, it was crazy. And it just went viral overnight and my life forever changed. And I was like, okay, God, like clearly you're doing something. And then since then.
Do you feel pressure that God's using you in such a big way? I mean, like, this is like, you're a chosen one. Like, you are chosen. Like, we are all special and divine, but like, you've been chosen, handpicked for a big message. Mm. Is that scary?
I think if I think about it too much, it is. But if I don't, then I guess my goal, like I mentioned earlier, is kind of just like keeping my eyes on him. Because if I get to, like, it's easy to kind of get swayed away with like the fame and the success and the career. You know,
does that creep in sometimes?
Sometimes, but most of the time not. No, because I don't like it.
Do you like the fame and the attention?
I don't.
You don't? Why don't you like it?
I guess it's just because I don't do it for myself. You know, I do it for God. So it feels kind of like weird to me. It's like,
when people are fawning over you, I mean, I fawned over you. Sorry. I literally am like, oh, because you're just so amazing. It's so amazing to be in your presence. Aww, I mean, I'm not trying to like put you on some like weird holy pedestal because I know that's not why you're doing it. But like, you just don't meet people this day and age who are following the assignment of God and this chosen. I just feel it. Like, you're just such a, like, you're such a chosen soul to be this light, especially in this very dark world that we live in. Mm-hmm. What do you do when people fawn over you and they're like, oh my God, Anne, like, you're saving my life. Your music is healing me. And like,
that's so
your
sweet.
Story is giving me hope that, you know, there's redemption and good things can come from suffering, because so many times people get stuck in the suffering and they can't get out of their pain.
Yeah, when people say things like that, it really does mean a lot. Like, I never take for granted. People are always like, I know you probably hear this a million times, but I'm like, no, I want people to tell me their stories. Like, that's what keeps me going. I think when it's more about me and less about like my music or what God's done, I always just, one of my friends told me one time, like, she kind of views it as like, every time someone gives her a compliment, it's like a flower. And then at the end of the day, it's like a big bouquet. And at the end of every day, she hands it to God. And it's like, here's my bouquet of flowers for the day. So mentally, I do that on show days. Like, if I've done a meet and greet and I've met a ton of people and they're saying super sweet things, it's like I just kind of give it back to God because it's not mine anyway. You know, it wasn't ever to begin with. So it's just like, okay, thank you so much. Like, it does mean a lot to me. But I think if you're not careful, you start to really like believe it, which it's good to believe it. Like, okay, I believe God's using me, but like, I don't ever want to let it get to my head. So it's just a continuous like, okay, God, you can have it. It's not mine, you know. Which then takes pressure off, because then I'm reminded like, oh wait, I don't have to like continue to like prove myself or do this and this and this. Like, you've already gone before me. So all I got to do is just surrender and trust, and you're going to continue to guide me. Which, back to what you said about like all the crazy things happening in my life, it's like, that's what it is.
Because that could be very overwhelming for a human. If you're just in your human being, that could be very overwhelming. Like, all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, all these eyes are on me. All this attention is on me. I'm having all these accolades on me. A lot of times people have like nervous breakdowns because they feel like they have to keep it up, or like the pressure. Do you feel that? Or if you feel it, do you immediately just know how to turn it over?
I feel it a lot. I don't always know how to turn it over. I think it just depends on the day. I really try to, but I do definitely get a lot of anxiety and like just, you know, it's just, it is a ton of pressure.
What?
For sure.
What is your anxiety? Like, where does your anxiety stem from?
I think it's just all these big things that happen. It does make you feel like, wait, I'm not equipped to that. Like, me, like, I'm not able to do this. Like, I'm just little Anne from Kentucky. I still feel like I'm 15 with braces on in high school. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes, who can't sing? I'm 40 years old and I still feel like I'm 17 in Waco, Texas. And I'm like, what in the world am I doing? Yeah. Like, raising a kid and having responsibilities?
Yeah.
I don't, yeah.
Uh-huh. It's crazy, isn't it? It's just like, going from that to this and such extreme differences. And
people looking up to you so much.
Yes. And the pressure of that, which is a beautiful, it's a good pressure. It's like, okay, this is amazing. Like, I'm so glad I can be a role model for these little girls and people. But yeah, I think just for me, it's just been kind of anxiety just from just carrying the weight of all of it is a lot, but it's good. It's like the beautiful parts of it. And there's obviously hard parts of it.
Thank you. you enjoyed this week's Sunday Sampler. If you missed any of those episodes, go check them out. Maybe you just like the Sunday Sampler. That's cool, too. If you can, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast that you like. That would help us a lot. Hope you guys have a great week.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.